As steadfast as a fortress wall, and as unyielding as stone, the 7th Legion formed the rigid backbone of whatever expeditionary fleet they led. Solid, dependable, and with some exceptions largely uniform, the Imperial Fists were an exceptionally well-regimented and organized force, capable of bringing crushing defeat or unyielding defense against any foes they faced. Know then that this is a record of the structure and tactical organization of the 7th Legion Imperial Fists. By the onset of the Great Heresy, the early structure of the Imperial Fists had remained almost unchanged since the earliest days of the Great Crusade, and indeed of the Legion's time in the Unification Wars before that. Ever the pragmatist, Rogel Dorn had seen little need to change the workings of what he saw as an already efficient military machine. Instead, he cleaved to demanding more and more from his sons, pushing them to excel while instituting minor but important modifications to the Legion superstructure. On a basic level, the 7th Legion displayed a marked tendency to favor Astartes infantry, especially those configured for close-quarter assault operations and those equipped with specialist weaponry. In the case of the latter, there was clear favor given to weapons intended to destroy enemy armor or fortifications, leading the Legion to field a much higher quantity of the long-range las cannon or the multi-purpose missile launcher over, say, the autocannon or the multi-melta, as the 7th were neither indiscriminate like the former, nor fond of short-range firefights that the latter would entail. Additionally, the Fists, along with the 16th Legion Luna Wolves and 10th Legion Iron Hands, were one of the main driving forces behind the development and deployment of tactical dreadnought armor, and were well-renowned for fielding numerous and large squads clad in these Terminator suits. Indeed, such was their prestige within the Imperium that they were amongst the first to field the Indomitus pattern of armor in the closing days of the Great Crusade. The structure of the Legion retained, as alluded, much of the strictures demanded by the Principia Bellicosa. Legion squads were grouped under the banner of a company, and while the strength of a company could vary wildly with its fellows due to recent losses or intakes, all were grouped into battalions, and two battalions would then form what was commonly known as a regiment. But, after a reunity with Dorn, latterly became known as either households or crusades, depending upon the disposition of the commander. The latter is of note, as its nomenclature is significant when taken into account with another of the Legion's most famous organizations, the Templar Brethren. Despite the heavily religious connotations of words such as crusade, or indeed Templar, the Astartes of the latter, and indeed the former, were paragons of the secular imperial truth to a fault, and of the ideals of the Great Crusade as well. The Templars themselves were nominally the first company of the Legion, drawn by Dorn himself to be oath-bound guardians of the Temple aboard the Legion's flagship Phalanx, watchmen eternal of the honor the Legion had to prosecute their oaths of loyalty to the Emperor of Mankind. While skill at arms was an ever-important factor in the selection of these brethren, it alone was not enough, as Dorn sought those of his sons within whom his own idealism, his own crusading zeal, could be found. In battle, they would ever be found at the van of the Imperial Fist battalions, clad in artificer power armor and wielding masterly wrought power swords. Due to their reputation as the first company of the Legion, delegations would often command sizable authority to whatever force they were seconded to. The first captain of the Legion was additionally the head of the Templars, and his authority was second only to that of Dorn himself. The Primarch was singular amongst his brothers in that he did not choose to hold close to him a coterie of advisors or inner circle, in the manner of, say, the Chiroptera of the 7th Legion Nightlords, or the Pyre Guard of the 18th Legion Salamanders. Ever the pragmatist, Dorn was known to have at one point bluntly remarked to his brother Horus that he would only ever rely on the counsel of those standing beside him in any given battle. The Legion, nonetheless, retained a rigid command hierarchy. flowing downwards from Dorne and his subordinate first captain, were the senior captains of the Legion's companies. And below then, the line captains. A second layer of authority, however, existed situationally above the captains, that of the fleet masters and siege masters of each respective theatre. Additional titles existed outside the normal command hierarchy, that of the castellan of a household garrison vested with stewardship of a legion fortress and charged with overseeing the maintenance of defences or acolyte recruitment. This role was inherently temporary, with the Astartes granted the honour inevitably returning to the Great Crusade to reclaim his former position. That being said, the roles were treated with such honour amongst the Legion that the title would often be retained despite active combat duty resuming. In battle, the Legion favoured massive hammer-blow assaults designed to smash the enemy as efficiently as possible. This should not, however, be presumed to be an assault that favoured speed. Unlike their cousins in the 19th Legion Raven Guard or the 16th Legion Luna Wolves, those of the 7th Legion were never adept at the remorseless exactness of a decapitation blow, and often found their skills far better utilized in the relentless destruction of an entrenched enemy, or, better yet, the protection of fortified positions from the foe. Operations, including massed battalions of Astartes, accompanied by a large amount of heavy weapon squads and armor, could sweep aside even the most deep-rooted resistance, while, on the defensive, the foe would be greeted with torrents of bolter fire that fell upon them like rain. The fire discipline of Imperial Fist's tactical squads was legendary amongst their cousins during the Great Crusade, and ensured that even in the direst of sieges, a simple line legionary could be counted upon to be as immovable a wall as mankind could ever hope to produce. The Imperial Fists possessed the finest void fleet of any legion in the Imperium. A product in many ways of the prodigious shipyards of the Inwich Cluster, the Legion's warships were in some cases the largest of any in the Imperium, or in possession of class variations found in no other arms of the Navis Imperialis. For example, the Tribune, depicted here, is a variant of the Victory class, and one of a series of 10 battle barges whose hulls were laid down orbiting Inwit itself. It is modified for heavier broadside fire engagements than similar ships of its class or tonnage, with an additional planetary assault petard on the dorsal reaches, making it an incredibly versatile warship. Counting over 1,500 vessels under its direct command, and many more bonded through oaths of fealty, no other legion could best the 7th in fleet strength, and as mentioned previously, the fleet masters of the Legion were held in positions of both great esteem and direct command, both within the Legion and elsewhere in the Crusade. By the outbreak of the Great Heresy, the Legion's total strength existed in the realm of approximately 100,000 Astartes. Despite their prodigious reach of recruitment sources, the 7th were never able to greatly exceed this number, both due to Crusade combat losses and the inherent difficulties with the acceptance of their gene seed amongst potential acolytes. At the time of the Istvan atrocity, the vast majority of the Legion's strength was concentrated upon Terra, where Dorne and his sons were overseeing the fortification and protection of the Imperial Palace, in addition to the solar system at large. There existed numerous smaller forces that had, owing to commitments in recruitment, castellanship, or a diverse range of crusade operations, been unable to answer the Emperor's summons, whether in transit to the homeworld or manning the Legion's scattered bastions, an unknown number would see the early years of the heresy apart from their brethren. Yet in practice, Dorne was largely successful in gathering under his gaze in the solar system the vast majority of his sons. But as to the actions in the immediate aftermath of Horus's perfidy, and the dread actions the 7th Legion would find themselves engaged in the Battle of Fal, these are records that must be sought elsewhere.